All right, let's talk about feeling our best without the hassle. You know those wellness trends that sound great but are impossible to stick with? Like taking apple cider vinegar shots. Yeah, no thanks. That's why I love Goalie Nutrition. They make wellness simple, delicious, and effective with their chewable gummies packed with powerful ingredients. Apple cider vinegar has been used for centuries as a traditional remedy for digestion and gut health. And Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies make it easy to add to your routine. And when life gets stressful, the Ashwagandha gummies help me stay cool, calm, and collected. No wonder they're Goalie's number one bestseller. Plus, all Goalie gummies are vegan, gluten-free, and made with high-quality ingredients you can trust. Join millions of happy customers and see why Goalie is the number one most sold item in U.S. retail across all vitamins, minerals, and supplements. Goalie is changing the wellness game. Head to Goalie.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try risk-free, backed by our money-back guarantee. Don't wait. Visit Goalie.com today.
Save big money on everyday items you need at Menards. Eliminate odors with damp-rid moisture absorbers. They're perfect for basements, attics, closets, and more. Damp-rid moisture absorbers work to attract and trap excess moisture to create noticeably cleaner, fresher air. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 19.
Hello everyone and welcome back to our finale episode for Season 19. Firstly, a huge thank you to each and every one of you who's listened, who's downloaded, subscribed, or submitted an experience. This has been one of our best seasons yet, and Season 20, by looking at the outline for it right here and now, I can tell you will be even better than the season we're having right now. But we have our finale to deal with, and it's one hell of an episode. I always love when someone gives us a documentation of their life with the paranormal, and that's exactly what we have today. But with a slight twist. You see, it's exceptionally rare, and I mean within maybe 1% of our submissions, that they're accompanied with some form of evidence. And that's what we do have for you today. At one point in Sam's experience, you will hear her describe an EVP session. Thankfully, we have that very recording to play for you at the end of this episode. And I can't wait to jump right in with this finale. So very quickly, a huge thank you to our team over at Patreon who allowed this show to keep going. When you decide to join our Patreon, you get all of our episodes on the main feed, both ad-free and before anyone else. Which means, of course, this finale has been already heard by our Patreons without any ad breaks. And also, they will be the first to hear our debut episode for Season 20 on May the 16th, when we will return with an update and additional experiences from one of our most emotive episodes ever, Season 15, Episode 5, Demon on My Shoulder. Alex has returned, and their experiences to date have proven they were not completely left alone by the end of that episode. And signing up to our Patreon makes you one of the first to hear the updated experience from Alex from that amazing emotional episode. Not only will you hear everything on the main feed, both ad-free and before anyone else, you will also get the opportunity to listen to the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites, a Patreon-only show which runs each and every Sunday of the year, even on the downtime between seasons, such as within the two-week break we're about to take. For our Patreons, there is no downtime, and they still receive a brand new half-hour episode each and every week, as well as a back catalogue of over 100 hours of Patreon-only content. And of course, you will become a member of our wonderful community over there, a community the likes of which I've never been so privileged to be part of. So, all for the price of roughly a takeaway coffee, you could be a member of our team. And if that sounds like you, somebody wishing to join a team of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts, then head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. just like our wonderful new team members have. Brian Young, Peter, Amy Lucas, Zach Weir, Paula, Becca M, Violet Love, Shirley, Glenda, Sandy, Marlon OK, Gemma, Parley Greco, Chris, Jeff Chaffer, Matured Online, Barbara, Susan L, Maddie Rylance, Deb Fisher, Cleo T, Amanda and Rylan. Thank you so, so much, guys. Your support means the world to me. And if you've been thinking about joining our Patreon, now is the perfect time to pull that trigger as we enter our two-week break before Season 20. And yes, we gave the date away earlier, but the date to mark in your calendars for the return of The Dark Paranormal for Season 20 is May the 16th. That's Friday, May the 16th. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you do not miss that debut episode from our return submitter, Alex, from the episode Demon on My Shoulder. But of course, we have today's finale to deal with. And it's one hell of a finale because I always find EVPs to be a bone of contention, especially when they're used as a form of evidence. However, you need to take a step back and look at the whole narrative and see where this fits in and if it does add weight to the overall story, and in my opinion, it most certainly does. So without any further ado, and for the last time this season, please lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable and, of course, leave your disbelief at the door as we all hear about A Life Watched by the Dead. Hi, Kevin. My name is Sam and I live in Georgia, in the southern US. I've been an avid listener of the show since I stumbled upon it back in the early days of Season 2, and I cannot thank you enough for the work you do. I wish I could tell you that over our next few pages there will be some sort of overarching theme that connects all of the experiences together. But that's not what fate had planned. All I have is a chronological series of unexplainable occurrences. Maybe you or your listeners could provide some insight on what they're going to hear. I'm always open to new ideas and interpretations. I've noticed in some episodes several references to the whole looking into the dark looks back thing, and I feel this submission is exactly along those lines. While I've never played with a Ouija board or knowingly opened any doorways into myself or my world, I feel that my visceral fascination and mind open enough to fall out, take on the paranormal, does leave me very open and perhaps vulnerable to such experiences. Despite my openness, my first recollection of any strange occurrences was not until my senior year of high school, when my mum and I finally moved out. I was trying to leave out anything that might be triggering here, but I feel that a somewhat detailed overview of where both my mother and I were, mentally and emotionally, is needed to fully appreciate some of the following events. So, a trigger warning here for mental and emotional abuse, and mentions of suicide. Growing up, my stepfather was capable of being a very nice man. Mostly, though, he was quite the opposite. His explosive temper was very easily triggered by things I still cannot quite understand. On one occasion, I was grounded for 6 weeks for forgetting to fold the laundry and getting it wrinkled in the dryer. Another time, I squeezed too much chocolate into my milk at breakfast and was berated to the point of tears before being sent from the table in front of everyone, including my stepfather's boss who was visiting at the time. I was grounded for an indeterminate period when I opened the front door to bring in a package whilst home alone. The list truly goes on. To his credit, my stepfather shared the wealth and didn't forget to include my mother in his roller coaster of mental and emotional abuse. On one eventful night, when I was around 12, I begged my mum to let me stay the night at my best friend's house, even though it was a school night. My kid logic being, we both go to the same school and her parents already have to drive her there, so why not, right? At the time, my mum's job was offering unlimited overtime, and we were a paycheck-to-paycheck household. Seeing this as the perfect opportunity to work some overtime for the sake of a replacement car battery, she agreed and let me stay. With my stepfather away for business, she didn't see the harm in succumbing to my request. Upon returning home and finding that I'd stayed a weeknight over at my friend's, I distinctly remember hearing my stepfather hit the roof, screaming at my mother that the only reason she should have pushed me off onto someone whilst he was gone was so she could go fuck someone else. After a drawn-out screaming, crying session, he stormed out of the house, leaving my mother a total wreck. I remember being in my room watching a Disney movie and hoping to myself that because it was quiet, everything must finally be okay. But I was far from correct. The house I grew up in was a simple double-wide on my grandparents' property that they'd lived in whilst building their current home. Thus, following this fight, my grandfather ended up changing the locks on our door while my stepfather was gone, because he was absolutely done with watching his daughter go through this time and time again. Upon returning and finding he couldn't get inside, my stepfather told my mum that, if they were going to live together, we would have to move away from my grandparents. Forced into an ultimatum between her parents and her husband, ironically enough, it was this whole situation that brought to light that they'd been secretly married, but that's another story. My mum tried to end her life that very night by cutting her wrists. The memory of the following period is spotty. But the few things I do remember, I recall in stark clarity. I remember my grandma and Aunt Janet coming down to the house and having a long talk with my mum. The conversation punctuated with my mother's gut-wrenching sobs. I remember my mum admitting that they'd been secretly married at the courthouse and locking myself in the bathroom at this devastating news. I also remember having to wrap my mother's jaggedly slashed wrists in gauze and medical tape and the torn open sleeves of the bathrobe she'd cut through before hitting skin. I say all of this to help you understand just how emotionally and mentally raw both my mother and I were when, 5 years, two moves, and tons of trauma later, we finally fled. At the beginning of my junior year, my mum began secretly squirreling enough money away for a deposit on a small two-bedroom apartment. I had unobtrusively packed much of my room into a few boxes and hid them in the back of my closet. By finals week of my junior year, I was laying on my mum's bed, studying for my advanced placement in Euro history, as my mum, grandma, aunt and uncle loaded our things into a moving truck whilst my stepfather was away again for business. Our first few weeks of freedom were dampened with healthy doses of both fear and trepidation. Whilst my mum still communicated with my stepfather out of necessity for the divorce proceedings, we lived in a constant anxiety of him finding us. Irrational? Perhaps. But when you've lived on a non-stop rollercoaster of anger and mood swings so abrupt they give you whiplash, keeping your blinds closed and staying inside seemed like a small price to pay for peace. It is in this cheap, dingy apartment where two women were finally beginning to heal that my paranormal story truly begins. Let me pause to briefly describe the layout of the apartment. It doesn't add much, but personally I love being able to visualize myself in the scene when I'm listening to the show. I'll go ahead and beg forgiveness for anyone who doesn't like this type of thing. When you walk through the front door, you find yourself in the living room, which shotguns straight ahead to the 7x12-ish dining room slash kitchen combo. About 10 feet into the living room brings you to a hallway on the left, and straight down this 10-foot hallway was my room on the left. My bathroom was on the right, and my mum's master bedroom slash bathroom at the end. Around 2 a.m, one late night or early morning, I found myself unable to sleep as per usual, and was watching CSI New York recordings in the living room. My cat, Tchaikovsky, was asleep on a short bookshelf that we had next to the TV, at the entrance to the hallway. His brother, Duncan, was snoozing in my lap while I sat cross-legged on the couch. Mum had long since gone to bed, and the house had been still and sleepy for quite some time. It happened in an instant.
One moment I hit the fast forward button on the remote control to speed through a commercial, casting the room into silence. And the next, a horrid guttural growl split the air in the living room. An icicle of raw fear penetrated my gut as my eyes were drawn away from the TV screen to that sound originating from the dark mouth of the hallway. In unison, Tchaikovsky and Duncan's head shot up from their slumbering positions, and all three of us fixed our gaze on the formless black mass that had materialized as instantaneously as the growl itself. Every piece of skin on my body puckered into goosebumps as I stared not only at this dark shadow of a thing that didn't belong here, but through it into the hallway behind it. The clincher that shook me to my core? Tchaikovsky and Duncan were staring too. Chai's hackles stood to attention as all three of us unanimously turned our heads in time with the movements of whatever this thing was. We watched it glide in front of the hallway entrance and then into the wall, separating the kitchen with a silken grace that twists my stomach to this day. And just like that, it was over. The encounter itself may not have lasted for more than 5 seconds, but the suffocating stillness left in the wake of its conclusion was something else entirely. The air in that room was the equivalent to that electrical feeling you get right before a storm. I deliberated with myself for seconds that stretched on with this distortion of reality as I tried to cope with this new experience. What the hell? Am I in danger? I watched the cats here too, right? What the hell do I do now? Ultimately, I did the only thing I could do. I got the F out of that room as fast as humanly possible. My mum's always been a stickler for turning off lights, saving electricity. But to hell with it that night. Scooping a cat under each arm, I barreled down that hallway with my head bowed, praying to whatever or whoever would listen that I wouldn't feel cold, formless arms snake out of the wall and try and grab me as I flew past. Something must have heard me, because I made it to my bedroom without any further incident. To comfort myself, I threw a Disney VHS into the TV and spent the rest of that night staring at the closed bedroom door, my heart in my throat, only falling asleep when I heard my mum get up for work the next morning, having her coffee around 6 a.m. There are several other notable occurrences taking place in this apartment. One I will mention briefly, as the person it happened to never elaborated on the detail. One night, my boyfriend at the time, Zach, was staying over as we'd been out late at the neighborhood pool. With my mum's hesitant blessing and the promise of no hanky-panky, Zach and I hunkered down in my bed for the night to watch a movie. Eventually, we dozed off and I slept soundly throughout the night. The next morning, Zach was unusually quiet as he gathered his things to head back home. After some prodding about how he slept, Zach revealed that when he got up to use the bathroom during the night, he thought he'd seen something in the hallway. But he would never elaborate more than that. And even when I offered that it could have been my mum up getting water or one of the cats, he was adamant that that was not what he'd seen. On numerous occasions during our time in this apartment, the power would cut out for seemingly no reason. No bad weather, no lightning or high wind to knock down a line or trip the breaker. At the time, I remember assuming it was just a cheap, crappy apartment with wiring to match. And that was the belief I held until one particular evening. I openly admit that I'm afraid of the dark. As an adult, I can sleep in a dark room if my partner's with me. But as a child, the struggle was real to ever get me to fall asleep in a pitch-black room. I don't think I'm alone in feeling this, but there is something weird about the weight of darkness. It's almost tangible. It triggers a visceral need within me to find the light again. So, sitting on that couch watching TV, I felt my heart skip a beat when, without warning, the apartment went black. I remember hearing my mum swerve from her bedroom and shout to just give her a minute while she found the flashlight to go and check on the breakers. For the first few moments, all I could hear was my thunderous heartbeat in my ears. As my pulse calmed, other sounds became more apparent in that darkness. Clicks from the refrigerator as the coils cooled. A low buzz from the now silent TV. A muffled rustle from my mum's room down the hall as she sorted out the breakers. And the breathing. Coming from my 2 o'clock in the direction of the kitchen was the very deep and consistent sound of heavy breathing. As if a very large pair of lungs were trying to fill themselves to the max capacity before expelling all the air in a controlled exhale that froze the breath in my lungs. My blood ran still and icy. A feeling of liquid heat originating from the crown of my head cascaded down my body like a smashed egg, as my thoughts mirrored the activity of a rat in a trap. Running exhausted circles and ricocheting off every surface, going nowhere. Before I had the opportunity to fully process what I was hearing, my pupils constricted with the flood of light as my mum flipped the breakers. Sound flooded the room as the appliances all kicked back in, their electric hum obscuring the horror I'd heard alone in the dark. This new phenomena would go on to reoccur several times during our year here. Sometimes I would hear the breathing from the dining room instead of the kitchen, and it was only ever truly apparent when the power went out. Despite never being able to identify the origin of the sound, I've done my best to attribute these experiences to a more rational explanation, such as the various appliance sounds I've already mentioned. The final occurrence I will share from my time at this apartment happened to both my mother and I, and it's something we still recount to each other to this day. Let's take a quick break to tell you about a wonderful product. Did you know there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our world, from the food we eat to the air we breathe, even the skincare we use? They could be messing with your hormones and making you feel like you're stuck in a mystery of your own. And just like a plot twist in a true crime story or one of those unexpected scary moments in our submitters' experiences, hormonal changes like premenopause or menopause can strike at the most unexpected times. And suddenly you're dealing with mood swings, sleepless nights, and all those other symptoms that make you feel like you're losing control. But here's the good news. This is one mystery you can solve with Happy Mammoth. Just take the 2-minute free quiz from Happy Mammoth, answer a few simple questions about what you're experiencing and where you're at in life, and you'll uncover the real culprit behind your hormonal symptoms. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help you balance your hormones so you can feel like yourself again. The results are impressive. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. According to a survey, 86% of the women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and the biggest benefit? 100% of the women surveyed said they're feeling like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
All right, let's talk about feeling our best without the hassle. You know those wellness trends that sound great but are impossible to stick with? Like taking apple cider vinegar shots. Yeah, no thanks. That's why I love Goalie Nutrition. They make wellness simple, delicious, and effective with their chewable gummies packed with powerful ingredients. Apple cider vinegar has been used for centuries as a traditional remedy for digestion and gut health. And Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies make it easy to add to your routine. And when life gets stressful, the Ashwagandha gummies help me stay cool, calm, and collected. No wonder they're Goalie's number one bestseller. Plus, all Goalie gummies are vegan, gluten-free, and made with high-quality ingredients you can trust. Join millions of happy customers and see why Goalie is the number one most sold item in U.S. retail across all vitamins, minerals, and supplements. Goalie is changing the wellness game. Head to Goalie.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try risk-free, backed by our money-back guarantee. Don't wait. Visit Goalie.com today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
One late Friday afternoon, my mum and I were vegging out in the living room. Myself on the couch and her on the recliner. I was all set to drive to my dad's place for the weekend, and I was killing some time so I wouldn't have to deal with the afternoon traffic by reading for a bit. The house was quiet, both cats were snoozing right next to me on the couch, and everyone in the home was accounted for in my line of sight. Out of nowhere, a loud slam rang through the air, sending a shock of adrenaline through my mum and I. Books were thrown aside. We both jumped up, asking in unison, "What the hell was that?" As we turned towards the origin of the sound, the kitchen, my mum flat out refused to go in. She's always been the jumpier from the two of us, leaving me to investigate the seemingly empty kitchen. Well, I opened every cabinet, every drawer. I looked inside the fridge, the freezer, the small closet we used as a pantry, and found nothing out of place. Voicing my findings aloud, my mum joined me in the kitchen as we both wondered what could have possibly caused the degree of volume behind that noise we heard. The slam had been absolutely deafening, and yet not a thing was out of place around us. And then we saw it. The single, small, soft soap dispenser was laying innocuously in the sink. My mum and I looked at each other, both thinking the same thing. The only way that dispenser could have made that noise we heard was if it was thrown into the sink with the power of a football player spiking the ball after a touchdown. It did not make a single piece of sense. We both tried to reason how it could have happened, even going so far as to try and recreate the sound by spiking the soap dispenser into the sink myself and comparing the noise to what it sounded like when it would fall in casually. On top of that, I knew that the soap had not been on the sink before this, as I recalled seeing it sitting on the countertop. There's no way it could have slid over the lip of the sink and slammed into that basin by itself. Needless to say, I grabbed my bags and jumped in the car to head to my dad's. My mum, obviously on edge from the whole event, made me stay behind while she put some things in an overnight bag to go and stay in Grandma's. There was no way she was sleeping there by herself after that. Our lease term ended at this apartment just in time for me to head to my freshman year at Flagler College. And instead of re-signing, my mum opted to relocate 2 hours south to stay with my grandma for a short time, before finding an apartment down there. While this signified an end to our experiences in the apartment, it was by far not the end of my experiences with the unexplainable. My next year as a freshman, living on campus at Flagler College, in what used to be the original Ponce de Leon hotel structure, brought with it several memorable occurrences, a few of which I will share briefly, as I know this is now getting lengthy. While I could go on and on about my time at this school, the history of that building itself is fascinating, let alone the ghost stories associated with that very location. But again, they're stories for another time. I lived in the right wing of the dorms that were renovated from the original Ponce de Leon hotel rooms. When you walk into the right side of the female dorms, you can either go left or right, with staircase entrances flanking opposite diagonal corners of the entryway. My dorm was all the way at the end of the hallway when you turned left, forcing me to walk past the staircase entrance that was closest to the entry door. Not until the end of my freshman year would I realize exactly why this particular staircase made my hair stand to attention every single time I passed by. From my very first day in the dorms, something in me rejected everything about this space. From the small, confession booth-esque foyer separating the stairs from the main hallway, down to the small rectangular window next to the doorway. I was certain that if I ever were to turn my head walking by, I would have a demonic face grinning at me back through the rippled glass. On the occasions when I would have to use said staircase, I hustled every time, feeling as if something were neck and neck with me, right above my shoulder, threatening to push me down if I didn't get out fast enough. My next experience is on behalf of my friend, Brittany. Fun fact, she and I met on the second day of freshman year at school here, and we knew instantly that we must have been spiritually separated at birth, with how we instantly bonded. I literally picked her out of the crowd as the person I was going to socialize with when our professor was running late, and everyone was milling around awkwardly in the lobby. Even more uncanny, we have the same last name, and we were born just 8 days apart. Sorry, just an interesting tangent from my perspective, but returning to the experience, it was the tail end of our freshman year. Brittany and her friend at the time, Kelly, were doing EVP sessions throughout the various locations in the original building, attempting to contact any of the several spirits that are purported to haunt the school grounds. 1 a.m. found them at the second floor level of the staircase that connected their dorms to mine. Yes, that staircase. In the recording, which I've attached, you hear the two girls giggle before Brittany states that they mean no disrespect by being there. A few words are exchanged quietly before Brittany asks a question that pertains to a specific flagless spirit, the Blue Lady. A lady who reportedly fell to her death on a set of stairs in the hotel. We mean no disrespect, but are these the stairs where you did in fact perish? There followed muffled, staticky silence. Then, as if from the end of a tunnel and echoing all the way, "Push me down." I get chills just from the recollection of hearing that voice resonate through my headphones the very first time Brittany shared the recording with me. While I would normally hate to ruin the EVP by putting my own opinion of what I think it says into the retelling, the words come across, to me, so clearly that if anyone hears something different, I am very open to what they might have interpreted instead. Needless to say, after hearing the recording and knowing where they'd been when it was taken, I felt vindicated. I wasn't completely crazy for wanting to avoid that stairwell at all costs. Allow me to end with what I feel is my crowning experience from my time at Flagler, and one of my most memorable paranormal experiences overall. The scene is set with me on the phone around 8 or 9 p.m., talking with Zach, the boyfriend, while sitting underneath the sill created by the many archways lining the female dorms. With my back to the bricks of the inner arch, I was facing the door that would take you inside the right wing of the female dorms, and of course, past my favourite staircase. I was mid-sentence about something or other as I pulled my gaze from the fountain in the courtyard towards the doorway down the corridor. Someone was blocking the door. It was as if someone had cut an image from an old photograph and pasted it over reality. There was a sepia-coloured woman in the walkway, not 10 feet from where I was sat. This is going to sound crazy, but it felt like I was seeing her with my mind and somehow projecting her onto my surroundings. The edges of the woman were fuzzy, as if they couldn't figure out how to solidify themselves. But I remember every feature. Dark hair piled high on her head, flanked by a white high-necked blouse. The blouse in question was cinched into a long dark brown skirt that flowed down over no feet. The skirt did not reach the ground, yet I saw no feet. Slowly, I drew my eyes up to her face. Dark eyes. Thin lips pulled into a tight scowl. This woman was angry. Whatever I was saying to Zach died on my lips as I stirred, too terrified to look away. In my ear, I could hear Zach calling, "Babe, hello?" But there was nothing I could say. I hazarded a blink, my racing thoughts telling me she was going to rush at me in my brief moment of vulnerability. With Zach's voice starting to escalate in my ear, I opened my eyes, and she's gone. Heart fluttering, I assured him I was okay, but that I would have to call him back and let the call end, because my eyes were glued to the door, my means of escape, an escape that lay exactly behind the space this woman had just occupied. I would need to walk through that space to get back inside. In a move reminiscent to when I fled the living room from the growling shadow figure, I summoned all my courage, gathered my phone and keycard, and ran through that formerly occupied space, slamming my keycard so desperately against the reader to get inside that my first two attempts weren't recognized. Back in my dorm room, I immediately got on the phone with Brittany to recount what I'd seen. After hearing my description of the encounter and being more familiar with the ghostly lore associated with the campus, Brittany encouraged me to Google some of the notable figures that have been reportedly seen on the school grounds to see if what I'd witnessed matched any existing descriptions. And I'll be damned. A quick Google search of Ida Flagler gave me everything I needed. I couldn't believe it. Staring at me from my laptop screen was a dated portrait of the same woman I'd just seen outside the dorm building. Same hairstyle, same collar, the same stern lines on her face that I knew could very easily pull those thin lips down into an angry scowl. And those are my experiences up through my first year of college. For my sophomore year, I ended up transferring to a less expensive school, bringing an end to my experiences on the Flagler campus. If anyone is hungry for more, I will try to get Brittany to submit her experiences in the Flagler dorms, as she's a listener of the show as well, and her experiences, in my opinion, were even more frightening than my own. I know this is turning out to be lengthy, but I hope you enjoy reading it as much as I have enjoyed scaring the crap out of myself with my memories. If anyone's ever interested in hearing more, I have a trove of experiences with my various adventures with Brittany, including our shared experiences of living together in an apartment that, funnily enough, shared land with the apartment I discussed at the very beginning of this email. All the best, Sam. Well, Sam, thank you for giving us our season finale for season 19 before we move on to season 20. And whenever anybody asks within their submission if you'd like to hear more, the answer to that will never be no. So please send everything you have and anything Brittany has and anything else that you can find. We are always on the lookout for any paranormal experiences. They just need to be truthful. They are your experiences, and although we may make the slight edit in terms of cadence for me in order to sound more natural, we will never change any other words within your experience, because we want your experience to come across as you have told it. And we have received some flack for that, really, throughout seasons 18 and 19 from people saying, why aren't you correcting grammar when it's clearly wrong? And the simple answer to that is, I want the stories that we tell on this show to remain as close to the voice of the individual telling them as possible. And also, we're not the grammar police. I'd sooner have a grammatically awful, amazing experience and tell it in the way that the person submitted it, then polish it beyond recognition of the person who sent it in. We will never be the show that corrects how other people use language. If you can understand what they mean and you still feel the need to nitpick, then so be it. But we will never do that, because that sort of behaviour, it makes people less inclined to write in. And genuinely, one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we receive from people who submit stories is by listening to the show, other submitters have empowered them to submit their experience. And that's how the show's going to stay, regardless of any changes that may come in the future. Don't worry, I've not forgotten about the EVP from Brittany through Sam. We are going to end the show with that, so you can mull over it and send in your suggestions of what you're hearing to contact@thedarkparanormal.com, which of course is also the email address to send your experiences to. And although we do have season 20 already mapped out, along with a few surprises along the way, as you know, the show is very fluid, and therefore if a story or experience comes in that excites me, you will likely hear it that week, because I can't hold my own water when it comes to something amazing landing in the inbox. So I'll say all of my goodbyes for now for season 19, and we will end with that EVP. Repeat it several times. Do let me know what you think. And I'll speak to you next on The Dark Paranormal for the start of season 20, our biggest season yet, on Friday, May the 16th. Now, of course, joining our Patreon at patreon.com/thedarkparanormal will allow you to hear that episode before everyone else, that debut episode, with an update from Alex, the submitter of arguably our most talked about and emotive episode to date, season 15, episode 5, The Demon on My Shoulder. And believe me, it's the best and biggest... No. And believe me, it's the best way to start our biggest season ever. I have the experience while working through it, speaking with Alex, and it's a hell of a way to start an anniversary, if you will, of seasons. Also, if you haven't already, check out youtube.com/thedarkparanormal. We have already quite a few Dark Realms videos over there, but we will be adding something new to that YouTube channel. Of course, our Patreons will still receive an earlier version of this new item before anyone else without adverts in it, and it will not be broadcast on this, the podcast feed. It's solely a YouTube venture whilst we try and perfect our camera/editing skills. But with all of that excitement yet to come, a huge heartfelt thank you to you from me and my small team for making this show what it is, which, in my opinion, is an absolute community-led and driven paranormal podcast, which is something I could have only dreamt of at the start. So thank you all. Remember the date, Friday, May the 16th, and until next time, remember, whenever you're discussing the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you next time, Friday the 16th of May, for the 20th season of The Dark Paranormal.
Staircase where you did in fact perish. Again, I'm really, really sorry if this is a tough subject and you'd rather not talk about it.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.